Lord, we pray that you will speak to us through your word and by the holy anointing. Do enlighten the eyes of our heart and our understanding, that we may truly see the heavenly pattern, to know how to build your church today in cooperation with you. May you touch the heart of each one of us. And we ask you to renew our mind. Give us the mind of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the fellowship this afternoon, one sister was asking, why is it that the acacia wood still needs to be overlaid with gold? I think it is a very legitimate and very good question. Why? Because this fine and perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus is not just to have a fine and perfect humanity. No. The reason why we need the humanity of the Lord Jesus is to express the glory of God. That means to have this wonderful humanity is not the goal in itself. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the church is the mystery of godliness, to reveal and manifest God in the flesh. Why are we going to have a church life? Are you happy just to have a good and nice and living church life? No. Because the very purpose of the church, the house of the living God, is to manifest God in the flesh. And in order to do that, our flesh is fallen and disqualified. God will never use our old man to manifest him. It is impossible. In fact, our old man will manifest somebody else. Sometimes we manifest the serpent's nature, serpentine nature. No wonder both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus called those religious people ye generation of vipers. Right? If they didn't say that, I don't think we would really know. And none of us would dare to say that. Right? So this is why the Lord has to get rid, crucify our old man, and in resurrection bring forth the new man. And Christ is everything in this new man, and yet it is not the goal in itself. The goal is to manifest God in the flesh. And this is why we need the acacia wood, so that God will be able to overlay this wonderful acacia wood with gold. Because in our fallen human nature, like we said this morning, gold doesn't stick. Right? So God is not going to waste his gold. And to overlay our flesh with gold, it's not going to work. So praise the Lord. This is why we need the acacia wood. Right? Our testimony is not, look, we have the fine humanity of the Lord Jesus. This is not our testimony. Our testimony is, look, the glory of God is being manifested through this wonderful humanity of Jesus. This is why we have to gain Christ as his meal offering, This is why we need to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Right? So I hope that all of us will really see the purpose in the Word of God, because the Word of God is very clear. This is why I'm glad this question was asked. Right? Otherwise, I wouldn't have a chance to really describe it and explain it, right? Because it's very important. Why we need the humanity of Jesus. Yes, it's for a building, but a building is not just to display the humanity of the Lord Jesus. The building of the tabernacle is to display the glory, the gold. So eventually, when you look at a tabernacle, you don't see the acacia wood, but you see the gold. Because only this acacia wood is really capable of being overlaid with this wonderful divine nature of God. Right? Clear to the young people? Amen. Right? Good. Praise the Lord. And you can really see how much gold is needed. Right? Although not as much as silver. Now if I ask you why, shouldn't gold be more than silver? No. Explain to me, Brother Charlie. Help me. Why do you think here in the tabernacle gold has 100 talents? Wow, 3.5 tons. I mean the silver, but gold has only close to just about 30 talents, which is 1015 kilo. Why? Guess. Why? Johan, why? What do you think? Okay. Let me just ask you, in your experience, what do you need in order to gain the gold?
Salvation.
Salvation first. Because if you are not saved, then we need a lot and a lot of salvation. How are we going to gain the gold? In order to gain the gold, you need to be saved even much more. Right? In Hebrews chapter 7, mention about us being saved to the uttermost. Your soul life needs much silver to be saved from yourself. We're talking about, of course, being saved from the world, from so many outward things, but you don't realize that you and I, we need to be saved foremost from ourselves. And this is the whole problem in the church life. Using the wrong material. If you ask, what is the problem of the church? What should we say? I am the problem. Because if there is no more you, and there is no more I, there's a whole problem. May your knee and may your not even. But if there's still the existence of you and all of us here, goodness, there's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of problems. Right. Praise the Lord. We should be able to say it's no longer I. What a salvation. This is the most wonderful salvation. Right? So, may the Lord open our eyes to see. This is the reason why we need more silver. And we need to constantly standing on a silver socket. Right? If you want to have clean feet, you better put on your shoes all the time. Right? So, you better put on the silver socket. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, because you need salvation. This is why, for this wonderful board, the acacia wood overlaid with gold, it has to be standing on the silver socket. All of these have wonderful spiritual meaning, and you will understand this meaning through your daily experience of Christ. Because if you're not experiencing the Lord, and if you don't have the desire and the need for salvation, you'll not understand. Why is it that it needs to stand on silver socket? Every board has two silver sockets. Just like you, with 2 feet, you need to wear a pair of shoes. Right? Praise the Lord. We really need salvation to the uttermost. I hope that all of us will understand this. And then we also need, as we have seen, bronze copper, the judgment. How many of you daily or very often tell the Lord, Lord, judge me now. Judge me today. Or are you afraid of judgment? Well, or would you prefer to be judged when the Lord comes back? You have to be judged anyway, right? Sooner or later, you have to face judgment. Yamsima? Yamsima. Indiba? We all have to face judgment sooner or later. But except today, if you face the judgment from the Lord, you have salvation. There's grace. There's mercy. And you have a chance to repent. And you receive forgiveness. But if you wait until the day of the Lord's judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, it's too late. No more grace. No more mercy, but the righteousness of God. So, when do you prefer to be judged? Tell me. When? Now. Tell the Lord, Lord, judge me today. Don't try to always justify yourself. Right? I'm right, I'm okay, I'm not wrong. And, you know, Lord, hey, why judge me? I'm not wrong. Charlie is the one who's wrong, right? Judge him, not me. Well, you read Hebrews 12. Whom I love, I judge and discipline. And that kind of a discipline is a certain judgment in order to save us. That's why we need a lot of bronze. If the Lord will just leave you and let you go to do whatever you like, that is not a good sign for you. That means the Lord has no way with you. So, okay, you just go and do whatever you like. That's it. Then, in experience, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us you're not a son, you're a bastard.
<笑>是不是不是我的儿子哦我不会去管他 that's whatever survival and keeping what is coming.
So, bronze is necessary in God's house. I know nobody likes judgment. You only like love, 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 and more love, no judgment. You know, if this is the church life, you will ruin the church life. You're going to spoil the church life. And you're going to corrupt the church life. If in the church life, everything goes, okay, let's tolerate everything, okay, that is also all right, oh, it doesn't matter, okay, don't worry about it, yeah, that's fine. You know, at the end, if you just correct the young people a little bit, they're going to run away and hate you. That shows that you really don't have love. If you let the saints and our young people do anything and everything they like, and you say, well, because I love them, you're lying. I don't believe you. Because the word of God says, whom I love, I chasten. And this is why bronze is so important as one of the material, a very important material in the tabernacle. Oh Lord, and then remember, in the tabernacle you have the brazen laver made of brass, made of pure brass, where all the priests, before they enter into the holy place, they have to wash themselves. Right? Now, why is it that it's a brazen laver? It's not for decoration. Oh, don't think, wow, it's beautiful because it's polished, it's going to be, wow, very nice. And, you know, as a decoration piece of furniture, right? No, it's not for decoration. It's for judgment. Many times we just say, oh Lord, wash me and cleanse me. But you don't feel that the Lord will judge you too. That is why the Bible says, if you do not confess your sins, and you say you have no sin, you lie. And the truth is not in you, in 1 John. But if you confess your sins, what does it mean, confess? You do not hide it. So confession there has a certain feeling of judgment. Lord, I am wrong. Sorry. Judge me. And if you confess to the Lord, then there's the washing. That is why repentance is one of the prerequisites of salvation. Repent. So may the Lord open our eyes to see how important bronze is copper. You need to appreciate that. May the Lord really open our eyes, right, to see why the pillars, for example, outside in the outer court, definitely inside is made of acacia wood. Because it's impossible to make a whole pillar outside made of brass. But why is it that all the pillars outside is bronze? Because if you want to come into the church life, you have to see that everything has to be judged that is in the world. Sinful things, everything has to remain outside. Don't think that building the true tabernacle is simple. Right? And I hope that you will not be discouraged, but encouraged to to gain Christ.
Amen.
Right? This word is not to scare you away, right? I'm not here to scare everybody away, but I'm here to encourage everyone to see how a glorious tabernacle the Lord is building today, and how much we need to gain these materials from the Lord. Praise God. And now, let's go quickly to the next point, the inner covering of the tabernacle. All the wood overlaid with gold and standing on the silver sockets. Right? You can really see it is just the wall. And of course there's the veil, but we'll come to that later, right? But then there is the first layer of the covering. And this first layer of the covering is made of what? Firstly, fine linen. Fine linen is the basic material. Then you have the blue, purple, and scarlet thread. And then you have the embroidered cherubim. You look at this. How is it? This is really wonderful. Now, Philip, what is the fine linen?
The righteous acts of the saints.
Louder.
The righteous acts of the saints.
The righteous acts of the saints. Where do you read that?
Revelation.
Revelation what?
19.
This is the garment of the bride. Pure and bright. Fine white linen, which are the righteous acts of the saints. And where do you get this righteous acts? By experiencing Christ as your righteousness. Right. Remember what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at the very end, the last verse says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that what? We might become the righteousness of God. Many of us just emphasize the first part of the verse and forget about the second part of the verse. Right? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, was made sin for you? Well, there's a reason. Not so that you'll be forgiven and have salvation and not go to the lake of fire. No. But there's something more glorious, so that you will become the righteousness of God. How wonderful. Right? So, you can really realize that, hey, the covering is made of fine linen. Fine linen, do you appreciate that? I know you all know the doctrine. You all know Revelation chapter 19, right? You can even memorize it. Her was given to be arrayed with this wonderful fine linen. The wedding. But, hey, how do you experience that day by day? And are you preparing this garment today? Are you? Yeah? Really? How do you do that? Praise the Lord. So, you can realize that the glory here. And this is a beautiful covering. A beautiful covering. Especially when you walk in, you see, of course, the gold on the side, which is the divine nature. But then when you look around and you look up, wow, you see the fine linen.
And in this fine linen, you have the blue thread, embroidered in blue thread. What does blue stand for? Heavenly. Heavenly. Blue, of course. We also talk about a blue sky, right? Not blue moon. People say, once in a blue moon, that means it never happened. Because there's no such thing as blue moon. But hey, blue sky. It's a wonderful blue sky. So blue is definitely a heavenly color. That means the church must be what? Heavenly. Not brown. There's no brown color. Which color do you prefer? You like brown color? Or you like blue color? Of course. Well, you're interesting. You can choose any color, but not in the church. Not in the heavenly tabernacle. You don't have any choice of color.
Oh, you will say, it's so hard to build. Well, who says it's easy? Nobody says it's easy. But whether it's hard or easy, you have no choice. What choice do you have? You have no choice. I have no choice. None of us have any choice. So you can see the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man from heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says the first man is earthly, earthy, and dirty.
He's from the earth, made of dust. Brown color. Kaf is. Nishimai Kaf is. Brown. Do you like brown color? What does it remind you of? Dust. Right?
But the second man is from heaven. Heavenly. So do you prefer to be earthly or heavenly? Hmm? How about you, Frank? Heavenly. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Me too. Right? So we need to get away from the first man, Adam. Put it off. And put on the second man. The man from heaven. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Right? The Lord is the heavenly man, the blue color. And then you have purple color. Now, what does purple stand for? Royalty. Right? Because this is our destination, our destiny. We are supposed to be royal, priesthood, kingly. Do you have this desire? Did not Peter says we are the royal priesthood, kingly? Many times we don't act very kingly. Yeah. Even at home, do you act kingly? Or do you act in an earthly way? Do you behave in an earthly way? You must have the white color, right? The white linen. You must have the blue color. And you must have a purple color. Maybe tomorrow we can all wear these three colors. You have to realize the Lord is training us today to be kings. This is why you have to make purple one of your favorite colors. I don't mean wearing purple color, but in the church life, you have to be reminded all the time, this is your destiny. God desires to make you a king.
So you have this wonderful purple, right? And then you have the scarlet color. Scarlet color is, of course, the color red of the blood, reminding us that all the time we need to be cleansed. We need to be sanctified by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think we are already perfect. None of us are perfect. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the time it reminds us daily, I need the precious blood of God. Yeah. Not only when I sin, not only if I committed a mistake or did something wrong or offended a brother. No. What if you didn't offend a brother? Do you still need the blood? Yes, you do. Although there you can see the white, praise the Lord, there's the righteous acts of the saints, and you have the blue, beautiful, wonderful, heavenly color, and more you're becoming kingly, you have the purple color, but then you will always need the scarlet thread. The more you grow in life, the more you mature in life, the more you realize how fallen human being is. People made a mistake. They thought, the more you grow, oh, I'm already 50 years old, and being 50 years a Christian, right? I don't need the blood anymore, or I don't need much salvation anymore. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're K.O. Knock out. The Germans use the word K.O. K.O. That means you're knocked out. You're not okay, but you're knocked out. K.O. None of us are okay, right? We are K.O. We're knocked out. That is why whether you did a mistake, you sin, you don't sin, it should always remind you we need salvation. We need the precious blood of the Lamb. Because sin dwells here, right next to you, in your flesh. And if you forget that, you think you are great, you're somebody, you are, I don't know what you think you are. But remember, we are nothing. But there is still sin in our flesh. Oh Lord, that's why you need scarlet. So, and then it is not just to have these three colors, but using these wonderful three colors, you have to embroider what? Cherubim of glory. Again, the glory. You need to see the cherubim. Because without such experience of this wonderful Christ of the saints, in the saints, right? Because this is the righteous acts of the saints. How can we see the glory now? Now there is the expression of such a wonderful, glorious covering. I don't know if you could picture it or not. Close your eyes and try to picture. What a wonderful tabernacle. You walk in, gold all over you. And you look around, wow. You can see a beautiful covering with the cherubim of glory embroidered there. And it's not just embroidered by anybody. Hey, they use the best artist to embroider that thing. It's beautiful.
This is the description of a glorious church life. Holy and without blemish. A glorious church. Yeah? We talk about Ephesians chapter 5. God wants to build, the Lord wants to have a glorious church. But how does it look like? And nobody knows how it looks like because they don't care what this pattern looks like.
No wonder you don't see a glorious church anywhere. There's a lot of corruption, a lot of unrighteousness, a lot of lies, twisting, rebellion, earthly, you see brown color, black color, you see, I don't know what other colors you have there. You don't see the glory of the Lord. Now you understand what it means to have a glorious church life, right? Amen. So, praise the Lord. And then you have a second layer. What is the second layer? Goat hair that is in the outside. The goat's hair is in the second layer, right? Strictly speaking, the first two layers are the covering of the tabernacle. Then you have the outer two layers. This is just the outer tent. It's not called the covering of the tabernacle, but it is the outer covering there of the tabernacle. Now, why goat hair? Goat in the Bible. I think you all know what the word scapegoat is, right? Do you use the word scapegoat? Now, where do you think people got the word scapegoat from? So when you mean the scapegoat? 代罪羔羊啊，那。 他们从什么地方得到这个观念呢？啊，圣经里头啊。 Have you ever read the name Azazel? Right. And here, I even wrote it down here in Leviticus chapter 16, in the Day of Atonement. Right? There are two goats there. One as a sin offering, and the other one as a scapegoat. God will put all the sin in this goat and send this goat far away in the desert, never to return again. Can you imagine? And it's called Azazel, the scapegoat. That means, hey, the word escape, oh, he's gone, you can't catch him anymore. Wow. So as far as the east is from the west, God has put away your sins so far away that it will not return again. How about that? The scapegoat. That's why it's called the scapegoat. Don't you know that God prepared a scapegoat for you? Yeah, you should appreciate that. Wow, what a scapegoat. How do you define a scapegoat?
Someone who takes the blame
for what you have done. Right? That means you blame it on somebody else. Like Clinton somewhere there.
Using a lot of poor people to be the scapegoat. You put a blame. Yeah. So actually, you are the guilty one, but you put a blame on somebody else. And actually, the Lord Jesus Christ is our scapegoat. He took all the blame upon himself. Can you imagine?
Right. And God sent the Lord Jesus away, far away that nobody else can see where it is right now. Right? What a wonderful picture. And here, even the verse we mentioned, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin was made sin for us.
so you can really see the second layer is this wonderful goat's hair. I shouldn't use the word wonderful, but it's wonderful because the Lord was this scapegoat, which is actually a sin offering, so that when God sees this place, He sees Christ was made sin for us. Otherwise, you will have to bear your sin. So, when God sees this wonderful tabernacle with goat hair, God will say, okay, amen. Peace, there's peace between us and God, because God has put all our sins upon this scapegoat and sent him away, that even God himself cannot find him anymore. Can you imagine? How wonderful. Right? It reminds us of what the Lord said in the new covenant. And their sins will I remember always. No more. I always say jokingly, you have a better memory than God. Right? You still remember so many things you did in the past. Right? You even dream about what happened. I mean, goodness, you woke up otherwise. You have a good memory. But God didn't have a good memory. He said, and your sins will I remember. How wonderful. Why? Because of this wonderful scapegoat. God sent it away as far as possible so that even he couldn't find it anymore. Isn't that good? Right? So, if God did that to you, you should also do that to the saints. But you should also forgive other people's mistakes. That doesn't mean that we tolerate sin, but don't hold it in your heart. Right? Don't do that. It's not good. May the Lord show us that, hey, this is the wonderful tabernacle. Right? Okay. I think you can read it yourself. Then, number three, we have the outer covering of the tabernacle. By the way, in this first two layer, there is the measurement. I don't want to get into the measurement right now. Maybe tomorrow we can go into the measurement because it is very meaningful, right? Everything in this wonderful tabernacle has a spiritual, wonderful spiritual application in our experience. Then you have ram's skin dyed red. It's a ram skin. Ram is used for a trespass offering, right? A goat is more terrible than a ram. A goat. You remember the Lord separated the sheep from the goat in Matthew chapter 25, the last parable, right? The goats went directly into the lake of fire, and the sheep, they went into the millennial kingdom as the nation, right? So the ram is definitely better, right? Now this ram, dyed red, signifies the trespass offering. Because we still sin. Don't say you cannot sin anymore. Only a fool will say that. Right? And so all the time we need a trespass offering. So Christ is there as a trespass offering. Yeah. Right? Let me just read for you. Let's read together. 1 John
chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Praise the Lord. John said, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." Right? So in chapter 1, if we learn to walk in the light, and then, right, we have fellowship with Him, the blood of the Lord will cleanse us. And not only that, hey, we remain in fellowship with Him, we will experience being liberated, free, set free, so that we are no longer a slave of sin. But that does mean that we will not sin again. So John says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." That means there's a possibility of us, for us to overcome sin. And we should, right? But if anyone sins, okay, that means highway. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, right? But also for the sin of the whole world. How wonderful. So, the Lord is there as this wonderful ram, the covering. Because we, in the church life, we will still be able to sin. Because we are not perfect. As long as we live in this earthly tabernacle, we have trouble. Right? So we have ram skin dyed red, which is Christ as our trespass offering, shedding His blood for the cleansing, for the forgiveness of our sins. So you can really see this is very important. But the outer two are for the protection. That is why you have the badger skin, rough, tough badger skin. The indestructible skin, able to withstand any trials, any weather, any heat. You know, the people of Israel, they wandered around the desert for 40 years, right? How many pair of shoes do you think you need within 40 years? How many, how old are you now? You must be 50, right, son? How many pair of shoes have you changed?
Once a year.
At least. Depends on how much you walk. Right? Well, if it's once a year, you might as well change shoes for 50 pair of shoes. And then you buy several other extras for different occasions. So you have, I don't know, maybe. Not like Imelda Marcus, right? But you know, when they were in the wilderness, walking there in the tough weather, hot, sandy, rough, their shoes never wore out. Because it's made of badger skin, the same skin. Isn't that wonderful? I wish they made shoes like that. Think of this, I'm going to give them an idea on the shoes. I think they will not do that, otherwise there's no more business for them. No more business. But hey, this is really amazing. And this very same skin is used by God for the outer covering of the tabernacle. Wow, it is indestructible. You know, look at the Lord Jesus when He was on this earth. He he faced all kinds of difficulties, trials, tests from all sides. We cannot stand any trial. Just a little heat, we already melt. Right? 热一点的话，我们就融化了，就没有办法了。We couldn't stand any heat, right? Can you? Even in Manila, so hot. Sometimes I thought, I'm not going to Manila anymore because it's so hot. Ah, right? And especially the heat in the traffic. Heat plus traffic equals impossible.
不来了，可能你们不要来了。或者哇，坐在那边的，比坐飞机还要惨啊！那边的，to
fly from Taiwan to here 2 hours, but to drive from the airport to your house is 3.5 hours. I'm not coming anymore. We cannot stand the heat. We cannot stand the challenge. We don't even know how to resist it. We have no wings. This is why in the church life we have so much troubles and we give up. Forget it. Goodbye. I'm leaving. Right? Because we couldn't stand it. We can't take the heat. We cannot take the pressure. We cannot take the problems. You know, in all these 50 years of my church life, there's so much problems. So what am I going to do? Philip, should I quit? Are we going to quit? Let's quit, okay?
No badger skin.
Well, let's all go to the tailor somewhere and make a badger coat. A coat out of badger skin. Otherwise, what are we going to do? So throughout the whole years, half a century, a lot of people we all know quit. Some quit. Okay, after 1 month, church life is not for me, too tough. Some after 1 year, goodbye. Some 5 years, some 10 years, some after 40 years. No badger skin. Praise the Lord. And you're building such a church life in QC, in Mindanao, in all the churches. Oh, praise the Lord. I really appreciate our fellowship this evening, right? Because the church will have so many challenges. That's why the Lord says, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades cannot prevail. But if it's built by men, definitely it's easy for the church to be overcome by the gates of Hades. Right? The enemy just had to do a little bit and then my whole tabernacle will come running down and corrupt it. But if it is built according to God's way, according to the heavenly pattern, and by the Lord Himself, this tabernacle is pitched by the Lord Himself, then it can withstand all kinds of trouble, all kinds of challenges, right? Don't expect the church life to be without any challenges, no. God will not just let you go without challenge from the enemy. You remember Job? Huh? Anybody knows Job? Huh? I think everyone who read the Bible knows Brother Job. It's quite famous.
Right? Famous for what? So cool.
Famous for this universal challenge between God and Satan. We only know trouble, sufferings, but behind that, you don't see there's a challenge between God and Satan. And God accepted a challenge.
Even God is the one who initiated the challenge. In the conference there, with all the heavenly angels there appearing before God, and Satan came late.
Satan always came late.
So Satan walked in and God, hey! Satan, where did you come from? How come you're late?
Oh, I was going around like a roaring lion, right? Going to and fro. Definitely like what Peter says, seeking whom he may devour. Then the Lord says, have you ever considered my servant Job? Ah, you see, it was God who initiated the challenge. So don't think that God will spare us from the challenge, especially in building the church. It is a challenge. So are you going to give up? Yeah? Give up? Too hard? Too difficult? Are you going to give up? Well, before you give up, give me a call, okay? The building up of this wonderful tabernacle is a challenge. A challenge. And which denominations can stand the challenge?
You have a mega church in Singapore, right? The whole directorship, six of them landed in prison.
There were 20-some thousand members.
Big church.
The pastor, the assistant pastor, the director, the finance officer, all of them ended up in prison for money laundering. The pastor sent his wife to Hollywood, to an acting school in Hollywood.
What reason?
A reason so that she could learn to preach the gospel better. By music, singing, acting. Hey, is that the way the Lord preached the gospel? And then through that they funnel, I don't know, what I've forgotten now what the news says, funnel about 20-some thousand million dollars.
So if you want to learn how to preach the gospel, please go enroll in the Hollywood acting school there in Los Angeles. How about that?
No wonder they ended up in jail. But, you know, let me tell you, that jail is still not the worst jail. When the Lord Jesus comes back, they are going to end up in a worse prison. That is just a temporary prison.
So you think Satan is afraid of that kind of a church? And they preach the gospel of prosperity. Tell me, where is it written,
发财的福音, gospel of prosperity. Can you tell me where it is written? No wonder you have over 20,000 members there, because everybody wants to be millionaires. Such a church
cannot stand the challenge. The Lord will not even tell Satan, okay, see if you can.
No challenge, no need. They're already lost.
But if we are building the true tabernacle, don't expect the church tonight to go unchallenged.
Okay. You still want to build the church? Amen, Philip. Tough, yeah? You have badger skin? Praise the Lord. I'm not joking, because in all these years, one incident after another, there is a challenge. And if you do not realize that this is a challenge from the gates of Hades, then you will think, oh, why is there so much trouble? You don't expect Satan to give up, right? He will fight to the very end. So, praise the Lord for the badger skin. These are the materials that are needed. Yeah. These are the materials that are really needed for the building of this tabernacle. So if you don't have this material, what kind of a church are you going to build? You tell me. No wonder it didn't work. No wonder. After every 10 years, everything is torn down. And you need another batch of people who didn't know what happened before, because all those who knew what happened before, they left. Only some young generation come in knowing nothing, and so this is really wonderful, until 10 years later they found out, oh, it's not really what it is, so they left again, and another generation would come in. Hey, you're just repeating history. I hope it doesn't happen to us from this time forth until the Lord comes back. Right? I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, what are we going to do? There's no other way. This is God's way. This is the heavenly pattern, okay? You don't want to take this pattern. You cannot build anything. You might as well not even start. Oh Lord, then you have the veil and the screen. The veil dividing firstly the Holy of Holies from the holy place. This is the inner veil. Why is it called the Holy of Holies? Because God lives there. Our God is holy. You know, in so many years in the so-called local churches, I hardly heard a real training concerning holiness. Life, spirit. There are all kinds of doctrine, explanation of the Bible, but I've never heard really a solid, very clear word, sober, admonishing word concerning the matter of holiness.
have you. Amen. Nobody talks about holiness. No wonder nobody sees God. And the gods they saw or are seeing are false gods, because they thought they become God. Yes. Remember in this tabernacle, the first part when you enter in is called the holy place. Then the second part, if you go through the second veil, it is called the holy of holies. That is where the ark of testimony is sitting there. The throne of grace is a holy of holies. But we don't have that feeling. You can come as you are, right? You're not afraid of him. No holy place. No holy of holies. You can do anything you like there. Right? You can be worldly, and you can be unholy. You can do this and that. Oh, you think nobody knows. Hey, sorry. In chapter 12 it says, we come to Zion, city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and a few angels. Did it say a few angels? Huh? What is innumerable? How many? Innumerable means in every place, every corner, there are angels watching. What are you doing there? Innumerable angels. And it says you come to the festal gathering, the church of the firstborn, and you come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men, period, made perfect. That means it's not good enough just to be a just man, and you must be a just man made perfect. Oh my goodness, not just graduate with maybe D or D plus, but A plus, cum laude. How about that? I mean, spiritual graduation. Spirit of just man made perfect. People don't care about that. But I hope you do. I hope we all do. After hearing this message, I hope you have no more excuse, okay? Don't tell God, I don't know, I don't understand. Well, tomorrow we have Q and A, right? So if you don't understand, please ask. I don't guarantee that I have an answer, but I'll try my best. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. This is the kind of church God is building today. Right? Okay. Understand? Amen. Let's pray.